This is Jim Inkster, and welcome to Friday Politics on Talk Louisiana, heard on WRKF in Baton Rouge and WWNO in New Orleans. Your number is 877-217-5757. Our show originates from the Investar Tower in Baton Rouge, and we begin with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Now in his third term, he was inaugurated January 11th, 2016, so that's 102 months and 15 days ago, and it's been a case in which the last two times out, he's received more votes than any candidate statewide on the ballot, any candidate on the ballot at all in those two elections. Again, 877-217-5757, and talk at talklouisiana.org. As always, the Lieutenant Governor spends a lot of time in the crown jewel of our state, New Orleans, where much of the tourism action is ongoing, and he will be hosting many events in the years to come. And in the coming year, we have a Super Bowl that is in the Crescent City at the Superdome. But you recently hosted an Aerospace Association conference in New Orleans, and my guess is that, like many others, people love coming to our biggest city. Your thoughts about how it went and why these events are so palatable to people from all over the country, if not the world, to come to New Orleans, Governor, Lieutenant Governor Nungesser.
Well, good to be with you, my friend. Well, you know, anytime we can get people to come in, enjoy the food, the music, the culture, we hope they go home, have a great experience, and that word of mouth keeps people coming. And hopefully, usually people leave here with a friend for life and keep coming back for more. But I agreed to host this conference, the Aerospace Conference, when the Lieutenant Governor of Colorado asked me to take over as president. I told her only if we host the next convention in New Orleans. And I got to tell you, Jim, I learned at this convention that Louisiana's missing the boat. We've got to up our game with VOTEC training. We've got to build a spaceport. This stuff in the future is coming, and the investment by private space companies in places like Texas, Alabama, Colorado, Alaska, it's blowing it out the water, and we're missing the boat, having a NASA facility. So I'm going to be getting with the governor's economic development people. In our lifetime, you're going to take space travel, and if you want to go anywhere in the world, it'll be 2 hours. You'll go to space, go to Europe, and come down. And they're also got technology to where if you need a heart in the future, they will take your tissue, take it to space, and make you a heart and bring it back and put it in you. These things just blew me away. That's coming, and Louisiana needs to share in that economic growth.
Well, you are a busy bee. I see the Lieutenant Governor Association is meeting in Detroit next week in the Motor City. I presume you'll be there.
Yeah, I'm going there to, it's about time for us to host both the Republican Lieutenant Governors and the all the Lieutenant Governors back in Louisiana. So I'll be there to make a pitch to either, the next meeting will be in Washington in December, but next year to bring both of those groups back to Louisiana. So I'll be making a pitch at that conference to once again host them here in Louisiana.
And you'll also be going to India and Dubai. Why so far away?
Well, we received a federal grant, $300,000 a year for the next 3 years to bring foreigners to Louisiana. Those grants usually go to big, New York, California, but we've had such growth in the international market, for the first time, we received $300,000 a year for the next 3 years to go to three new markets. We just got back from Spain and Italy, where the ambassador hosted an event with all the travel agents and travel writers there. And the third new market is India. So we'll be going there, and I'm going to take a side trip to Dubai because, I'm all about pumping and building land. And they did such a job at building land in Dubai and extending the port and those things. I'm going to meet with the port people there and exactly how they did it so quickly and hopefully bring back some of those ideas to implement to saving our coast.
Well, since we talked a month ago, a lot's happened. Former President Trump was shot. Current President Biden has withdrawn, as you suggested, he do. He also suggested a few months ago that former President Trump step aside, but he is the nominee of your party, and he, it appears, will be facing a person 18 and a half years younger than he rather than a person 3.5 years older. Kamala Harris has raised, I think, almost $250 million in 4 days. $250 million. What do you make of the race for president right now?
Well, I think if the election was held today, Trump would win. But unless he stops the negative and starts talking about closing the border so the fentanyl is not killing our kids and the illegals are taking jobs, talk about the things that matter to the American people and not trashing the opponent and all of that talk. He gets riled up at those rallies, and people want to hear, what are you going to do to make this country better and safer? And so I think if he doesn't change his tune every day from here to the election day, the polls will reflect that. The message has to change. And, you know, he did real good right after being shot and softened the tone. But yeah, it's the bashing and that stuff is not going to get anybody elected.
The last few days, Speaker Johnson has on occasion suggested that Kamala Harris isn't a legitimate nominee. She won no primaries. Last time this happened was Hubert Humphrey in 1968, who got the Democratic nomination, didn't enter any primaries. He, too, was a vice president. The convention was in Chicago. Hubert Humphrey, as we know, was a 1940 graduate of LSU. But on the Republican side, I was a little kid, but I remember in 1968 when Ronald Reagan went to Miami and tried to take away the Republican nomination from Richard Nixon, and then he did the same thing in 1976 in Kansas City when he lost in the primaries to Gerald Ford, but still tried to outpoint Ford in Kansas City unsuccessfully. Even named a running mate, a liberal Republican, Richard Schweiker, in hopes that it would force Ford's hand, and Ford ultimately chose Bob Dole. But at any rate, this is not new, and your dad, he was close to Ronald Reagan before Reagan became Reagan, wasn't he?
Absolutely. He was a Reagan supporter when he made that challenge to Ford, and yes, and a big supporter, and my favorite president in my lifetime, and supported him all the way through, and ultimately we were friends with the family, and it was a different day then. You know, I don't know the rules or anything. It's obvious that she's going to be the candidate. I don't know the legal aspects of it, so it's hard for me to comment on that. And I think the Republicans just need to deliver a better message. And there's a lot of things to campaign on that are wrong. And it's got to be a positive message. And I think people are sick of the negative and the nastiness. I think people are just over that, and I don't think that benefits any candidate running today.
877-217-5757 for Billy Nungesser. Now, a listener, this is Hal in Monroe, notes a story today in many newspapers that Governor Gavin Newsom of California has ordered his state to begin dismantling thousands of homeless encampments. It's the nation's most sweeping response to a recent Supreme Court ruling that gives governments greater authority to remove homeless people from the streets. Now, California is a haven for this sort of thing because of its climate, and we do see a lot of homeless people despite the oppressive heat in New Orleans and in Baton Rouge, too, but more so in New Orleans. Do we have a real problem with this, or is this something that is just part of American life, that we're going to have people living on the streets?
Well, we do have a real problem with it, and I know they're making an attempt in New Orleans to clean it up before the Super Bowl, and I think the mayor's got a plan where she's putting them in rental homes, which I disagree with, because when the money runs out, they're going to go back on the street. You look at what some other, I believe Minnesota, took an old warehouse, an old Kmart or something, put little cubicles in it, and that way they can be used over and over and over again if those people get a job, get back on their feet, get mental health treatment, whatever it is. But that's a facility that can be used indefinitely. If you rent them houses, and the money's going to run out at some point, and they're going to be back on the street. So I hope that whatever monies are spent on this, it's done in a long term, because just getting them off the street for Super Bowl for 6 months or whatever is not going to benefit. And I keep saying, everything we do to clean up our act for Super Bowl, we need to have sustainable plans long term, because the crime, the cleanliness, and new attractions have been trending in the wrong way for far too long, and it is affecting tourism, and it will continue to affect the tourism until we turn it around.
We'll spend a few more minutes with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. General Honoré is up next after the Lieutenant Governor, but if you'd like to get in after this 89.3-second timeout, 877-217-5757. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana Friday Politics on WWNO and WRKF. And your number again is 877-217-5757. And we're visiting for a few more minutes with Lieutenant Governor William Harold Nungesser. Now, before we go to the callers, it doesn't look like we're going to have a constitutional convention. That's something that is a massive endeavor. And by the way, the governor, Jeff Landry, is slated to be with us next Tuesday. But what about whether this was a good idea? Was this a bit too soon, or is this something that's long overdue, Lieutenant Governor?
Well, it's probably long overdue, but taking the time to make sure everything is vetted and the public feels like they're fully informed is probably a good idea, because ultimately you can change a lot of things for the good if you don't get the public support and get them to vote on it. All that work will be for nothing. So I think it's important that whether it's meetings around the state, full disclosure of what we're trying to do to restructure the way the money is allocated, it's got to have public involvement and feel like everybody at least is a part of the process to get that public to buy in. So ultimately, you can pass it by the voters, which is necessary.
Cindy in Baton Rouge. Cindy, you're on the air with Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser. Hi, Cindy. Okay, we lost Cindy. Try calling us back, Cindy. Let's go to David in Atlanta. David, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm glad to hear your father was a supporter of Ronald Reagan. Lieutenant Governor, are you aware on February the 5th, 1985, Ronald Reagan, in his State of the Union message...
All right, what's the question, David?
I'm coming to it, Jim. Committed this country to the Reagan Doctrine to defend any country invaded by Russia. Now, you said Mike Johnson would make a great Speaker of the House on this program.
All right. Well, Mike Johnson, by the way, went against Donald Trump and supported aid to Ukraine. So he is definitely... taking some chances, but Mike Johnson's walking a tightrope here, because obviously at this point, like him or not, Ronald Reagan is the Republican Party. That was a Freudian slip. Donald Trump is the Republican Party right now. Ronald Reagan once was, but he's not anymore, and Reagan and Trump are a lot different. I mean, Reagan would not be in favor of tariffs, and he would be in favor of supporting enemies to Russia. So what's going on, Lieutenant Governor?
Yeah, it's a tough time in America, because there's no clear message of support. And surely, Russia and China are a bigger threat than they've ever been. This country's got to come together, and we got a lot of work to do. And it's scary times.
Okay, James in Longview, Texas. James, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Billy Nungesser.
Good morning, gentlemen. I just want to ask the Lieutenant Governor, do you think Mr. Trump will be able to restrain himself when it comes to Kamala Harris and not take the bait if she does enter a debate with him and as far as the dialogue?
All right. Well, I remember 8 years ago he called Hillary Clinton a nasty woman. He faces the prospect of some pushback if he goes off the rails, but he does appear to be fully capable of doing that. Can anyone talk some sense into him as far as debate strategy? If he goes in and he says, people say, I'm not going to be mean, they're wrong?
I doubt it. I don't think, you know, I think every time and he reads or goes through his speech and then he seems to go off of it and that crowd gets him riled up and he's able to say anything. And I think that's what has a lot of Trump supporters on the edge of their seat. And I think a lot of people would like to give him advice on that. I'm just not sure he takes it from many people.
Well, Lieutenant Governor, always a pleasure. We'll hopefully catch up with you next month and appreciate what you're doing. Thank you, sir.
Have a great weekend.
You too. We're joined now by General Russell Honoré, the man who is in charge of the Green Army. And 19 years ago, on August 29th, 2005, in New Orleans and in Louisiana, by extension, the world changed with Katrina, and this gentleman led the comeback. And he has been involved in his home state's life and politics for a long time, but particularly since Katrina. And good morning to you, General Honoré. General, I think we got you there, but you're on the road. He's usually in studio, and I don't know that we've ever actually had an interview with the general when he was on the phone rather than being in studio. But I think Robin Dow says, hold on a moment, that we're trying to get him to a better place. But we are in an unusual time, and most of the attention is about national politics now. The New York Times has a story today about Kamala Harris. The election for President of the United States is now 102 days away, and they have a poll in which Donald Trump leads her nationally 48% to 47%. But remember, Trump lost resoundingly in both races as far as overall vote, and he won one of them, but he's down 10 million votes in two races. So it would appear, just based on the way the Electoral College works, that any Democrat, to be competitive against Trump, they will have to win the overall vote, most likely, by more than 3 million votes. Joe Biden won by 7 million and still had some close calls in states, but it would have taken three states to overturn the election, and Donald Trump did not have the votes in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, or Nevada. Those are the ones that were close, but Biden won all six of them. 877-217-5757. Good morning, General Honoré.
Good morning, sir. Hello, Louisiana.
Where are you today?
Well, I'm on my way. I'm in La Place, making my way down to the Hyde Regency to the National Urban League National Convention in New Orleans.
There you go. Another big convention in New Orleans. And according to the statistics I received from the lieutenant governor who was just with us, New Orleans got more visitors last year than Las Vegas. So people love coming to New Orleans, even in the heat, don't they, General?
Absolutely. Yesterday, Jim, I was proud to be a speaker at the Veterans Affairs, National Veterans Department wheelchair Paralympics that's happening in the convention center in New Orleans. Shared the stage with Senator Cassidy and the governor. Both of them came and gave motivating words to those 500 plus men and women who are competing in wheelchairs in sports, from everything from bass fishing to air rifles to basketball and soccer, and the day they do a baseball game. So I was so proud to be there with them because they remind us that freedom isn't free. All of them in wheelchairs, Jim. It's something to see.
I bet it is. And we should all pay heed to those who served our country in war. And because, as you know, that's not the ultimate sacrifice, but you were there. You know people who didn't come back and some who come back with afflictions. But most of them, if not all of them, fight with the same vigor they did for our country, and God bless them, and God bless you. But we are in an interesting time, and you, of course, you're on the left side of the spectrum, but this race has the makings of one for the ages, doesn't it?
Well, it appears so. It appears so. It gets a little more interesting every day. So I think the thing about it is those people who were sitting on the fence and thinking about they weren't going to vote and they think their vote don't count, they do count. And we've got to continue to get people to engage in the process and get out and vote, particularly the young people who got a lot of other issues on their mind, but they can make a difference in this next election. And older people who said my vote didn't count the last time, I didn't get what I wanted, or the guy I wanted to win didn't win. We've got to get people participating in the voting process. And the one with the most votes and the most electoral votes will win. So it's a contest. And it can be described as a battle in a war right now.
877-217-5757. Back after this. This is Jim Inkster. You are listening to Talk Louisiana on WRKF and WWNO. Your number is 877-217-5757. Robin Dow is producing. General Honoré, 37 years U.S. Army, head of the Green Army, and a man who served our country with distinction from 1971 to 2008 in the armed forces, and he is now doing his thing and has for the last 16 years as a civilian. 877-217-5757. Patrick in Baton Rouge. Patrick, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with General Honoré.
Hey, General Honoré, I got a question. Since you were a figure of authority during Hurricane Katrina, and you helped restore law in New Orleans, Kamala Harris was all for defund the police back in June of 2020. She went on a radio show.
I don't think she was in favor of defunding the police, Patrick.
She said it on a radio show. So I guess my question is, do you support Kamala Harris and her defund the police movement?
All right. I don't think she's in favor of defunding the police. She probably had some misgivings and concerns about how the police acted, particularly in Minnesota, as most Americans did, if not all, including you, Patrick, I'm sure. But there's an example of, I'm sure that is a distortion. I cannot believe that Kamala Harris would be in favor of defunding the police, General.
No, but I do believe in we got to do something about climate change. I believe we got to do something about assault rifles. I do believe we've got to do something about women's choice. I believe we've got to do something about people's right to vote. And I do believe we've got to do something with the renegade Supreme Court that is basically telling federal agencies they got to go through them before they make decisions. So I do believe that we need to protect our freedoms. That's what I believe. And there will be bits and pieces like this come out, but that's what I believe in.
All right. Well, and if there is something in her own words saying just what Patrick implied, then we will, of course, we'll play it. But I have a feeling that anything she said along the lines of police funding was in context to what was going on with rogue police officers. And police officers are like citizens. Most of them are very good servants, and they put their lives on the line at times. But sometimes there are some bad apples, as we found out with Mr. Derek Chauvin in Minnesota. And that's the way of the world, that sometimes you're going to have bad people. But most people are good, and thank God that's the case. 877-217-5757. Patricia in Magnolia Woods in the Baton Rouge area. Patricia, you're on with General Honoré.
Good morning, General. The Biden-Harris administration got passed the Inflation Reduction Act to support green energy, and I was wondering if you knew if there are any effects of that legislation in Louisiana. Thanks.
Oh, absolutely. There's been millions of dollars poured into Louisiana, strangely enough, to support a concept called carbon capture, which I totally disagree with, but it's one of the things they put in to try and develop technology to store carbon underground. and we are very suspect of it. We've coached the and tried to talk to the administration through the Department of Energy and in the EPA. It's an unproven technology, but Louisiana is all in on trying to do carbon capture. And also the proliferation of LNG. I know there's a lot being said by the opposing party about the Biden administration and drill, baby, drill. But we're producing more oil and LNG in Louisiana than we've ever produced in our history. And we've now become, under the Biden administration, the leading fossil fuel producer in the world. I want to say that one more time, because there are a lot of people distorting that the Biden-Harris administration slowed up fossil fuel production. We're producing more now than we've ever produced, and we are selling more liquefied natural gas overseas. Those of us in the environmental movement have issues we got to work through with that, because the more LNG we produce, the more we warm the earth through the release of methane. One of their solutions is to do carbon capture. So we got some issues we've got to work through, but we're talking, and they have invested in a lot of money in Louisiana under the infrastructure program.
And a listener has pointed me to a story, and I'm going to be fair. And Patrick, I think you were half right, and maybe I was half wrong. But here's a story from CNN. Vice President Kamala Harris, this is in 2020, voiced support for the Defund the Police movement in a radio interview in June of 2020, just months after denouncing the movement after she had joined the Biden presidential campaign. What she said was the whole movement is about rightly saying we need to take a look at these budgets and figure out whether it reflects the right priorities. Now, I don't know that that means defunding the police, but Patrick, I appreciate you calling, and I learned something from you. Thank you, sir. But as far as intemperate remarks, some remarks have been uncovered in the last few days, and they were in public view, mostly on Fox News with Tucker Carlson, but J.D. Vance, the Republican nominee for vice president. General Honoré, we'll let you bite on these. He says that people with kids under 18 should be allowed to have votes related to the number of children they have. And I'm serious. This is J.D. Vance, the senator from Ohio, now the nominee for vice president for the Republican Party.
Let's give votes to all children in this country, but let's give control over those votes to the parents of those children. Children are the future of this country, and yet the parents who have them actually have no advantage in our democratic process. They have a smaller voice in some ways than the people who don't have any children at all. When you go to the polls in this country as a parent, you should have more power. You should have more of an ability to speak your voice in our democratic republic than people who don't have kids. Now, people will say, and I'm sure the Atlantic and the Washington Post and all the usual suspects will criticize me about this in the coming days. Well, doesn't this mean that non-parents don't have as much of a voice as parents? Doesn't this mean that parents get a bigger say in how our democracy functions? Yes, absolutely.
All right, so should people with kids have multiple votes based on the number of children they have, General Honoré? That's what J.D. Vance is proposing.
I'll say it this way. This is what happened when you have Don Jr. picking your VP. That boy is stuck on stupid. And I know he's a smart, he's well-educated, but he's got some pieces of stupid that's locked in the back of his brain that is not serving the country well, and he could be one heartbeat away from the nuclear code. I suspect he will not last until the first hurricane. Before we get the first hurricane coming to Louisiana, that guy will be gone. He will resign. There's no way we can have him that close to the president. And the president, Harris, or Trump, one of them will win, but we cannot afford to have that kind of stupid nuclear code.
All right.
He got to go.
Well, remember Sarah Palin stayed. Of course, John McCain ended up losing that election by 10 million votes to Barack Obama, but here is Robin Dow has found another nugget from J.D. Vance about really he was referring to Kamala Harris. This was before Harris became the presumptive Democratic nominee, and before Harris or before Vance became the Republican vice presidential nominee. But here we go. J.D. Vance on Tucker Carlson a few years ago.
We're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made. And so they want to make the rest of the country miserable, too. And it's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children. And how does it make any sense that we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it?
All right. So people who don't have children don't have a direct stake in what happens to the world at large. I guess that would include Jesus. But, General, your thoughts?
I think enough said. I mean, that was a pretty clear statement from J.D. Vance. Again, I don't think he's going to last through mid-August before we get the first hurricane in the Gulf. We can't deal with that level of stupid, that young man. He can't get close to the nuclear code. And we know things can happen. President Trump, like me, got a little age on him. We can't afford him going into the White House with that guy like that as the vice president. So J.D. needs to resign and go back making money or whatever he was doing. But he's not cut out for this job. He's just not. With some of these beliefs, I know he didn't. I don't think he learned that in the university. That might be some of the stuff, philosophy he's learning from Don Jr. and that crowd. But he needs to go. We can't have him as even a possibility of getting in the White House, being in the vice president. You got to go.
Alan in Port Allen. Hello, Alan. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hi. Yes. I want to ask Mr. Honoré, what do you think about the DEI? And isn't DEI more in line with the Constitution?
All right. As far as supposedly, the Democratic Party and Kamala Harris being DEI proponents and that being the scourge of the earth, what are your thoughts about whether that's a good move or a bad move, number one, to make it an issue, and number two, is it actually something that is valid in our society?
Yeah, you know, Jim, some of the most hurtful language I heard after we got done with Katrina, people were given much praise to me and my soldiers and our National Guard troop for the work we did. And every now and then, one of these ghosts from the past would say, well, he was just an affirmative action general. He was promoted because he was an affirmative action hire. And affirmative action was a program to...
Okay, we're going to pick up with that, continue with the general, and hear from you after this time. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. You're listening to Friday Politics on WWNO New Orleans and WRKF Baton Rouge. General Honoré with us for the lightning round. If you'd like to get in the last quarter hour, 877-217-5757. As we were going to our last break, the general was saying that he, of course, served our country with distinction and with certainly competence and some would say bravery, courage, heroism through his 37 years in the Army. But yet, at the same time, people would not give him his due based on the fact that he is a black man. You're saying that sometimes, no matter what you did, people would say you're a minority hire. And that's why this DEI thing is and so what some believe is a dog whistle, General.
I think it is, and it's been weaponized to a point, and I hate to use that word, but people understand that language, to even brand the current vice president of the United States as a DEI hire. And we heard folks talking about that. Matter of fact, I sent a tweet to Speaker Johnson recommending this wasn't good for the country. I mean, we need a two-party system that's run by adults, that's focused on the issues. But just that language tells us that there's people, too many people in America buy into this, that somebody else is taking your job. And that person is a minority or a woman that's being forced in and taking your job. All jobs are competitive. You might get in, but you've got to hold that job. You've got to show competence. And I just think they've taken this term and made it almost like a curse word, where the intent of it was to raise the consciousness of the nation that over half of our population are women, and they need to be in every aspect of our lives, from law enforcement to teachers to you name it, to politicians. And there are folks that take issue with that. And I think they're showing their true colors when they overemphasize this idea of DEI. Remember, up until 1964, the Supreme Court upheld the laws that said separate but equal.
Yep.
Jared, we knew how long it took Louisiana to solve that problem with segregation. And segregation is still a problem because we've just economically segregated our schools in Louisiana. We've fought this all along.
Jared in Baton Rouge. Jared, you're on the air with General Honore. Good morning.
Hi. Yes, I just wanted to say, in response to the idea of Mr. J.D. Vance giving more votes to families with children, to respond to that by just saying that he's stupid is not going to convince anyone of your position. So all right. I didn't hear any argument actually against the policy. Wondering if there is one.
Well, are you in favor of it, Jared?
I think it's a good idea, yeah.
Okay, and I'm sure you're not alone. J.D. Vance is he's an Ivy League graduate. I don't think he's stupid as far as his intellect, but I do think that was a stupid thing to say, and there is a distinction, just like we'd had a distinction with what Kamala Harris said that Patrick pointed out, but... General Honore, I think that would be a crazy idea, and I'm sure the Democrats were saying, look, if this guy wants to keep flapping his jaws and saying that, let him do it, but I don't think that's what America's... I thought we had one person, one vote. It wasn't based on whether you had 15 kids and you were able to get 15 more votes. I just don't think that's a really good idea, but your thoughts, General.
It's hard to address that as a concept, but we're America. Everybody get a chance to say what they want, do what they want. Republicans, stick with that one, and we'll have a first female president. Y'all just stay with that one. Just keep pushing that idea.
And a listener notes, imagine trying to verify that one at the polls.
Let's see how your poll watchers are going to carry out. You got to bring your kids with you. No, by the way, if it's pregnant, if you're 2 days pregnant, that one get a vote too, because the other side believe, you know, that's the beginning of life. So you get about 7 or 8 votes. And if you got twins in your stomach, you get extra votes for that. Just keep going down that logic. That'll put a Democrat in the White House.
All right. James in Metairie. James, you're on the air. James, a Republican, I believe, from Metairie, but often expresses views outside the boundaries of his party. James, good morning.
Right. I'm never Trumper, Jim. Good morning, General. And Jim, Jim, based building on what you said earlier about Jesus not having children, maybe Jesus being a preacher, maybe that was a DE. Now, General, I want to say this about fracking. Kamala Harris have a lot of problems in places like Pennsylvania, because in 2019 on CNN, she said, quote, "There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking."
All right. Thank you, James. That's a legitimate question.
And for the last 4 years, we've done more fracking than we've ever done in the history of our nation. So we'll see where that goes forward with policy. But I'm telling you, fracking is not good for dealing with the issues of climate change. It's creating an enormous amount of methane that's going into the air. The fracking gas is used for LNG and is being shipped overseas. And right here in our state of Louisiana, you know, Louisiana is importing dirty coal and exporting natural gas. What a concept, huh? We're one of 3 states that pay more for our utilities because we are importing coal from up north, because there are members of the legislature that's part of the coalition that keep these coal plants open, but we're shipping our natural gas overside. You're talking about some stupid legislation that came out of the Capitol over there. That's got to be fixed.
Paul in Opelousas. Paul, you're on the air with the General. Good morning. Hi, Paul.
Good morning. Good morning, Jim. Good morning, General. Just a question to Jim about the General. When are you going to offer the General a show? That's what I want to know.
Well, he's on with us a while, and I think he's a busy man, but he certainly has an opinion that is a magnet. People who will like him are saying, yay, General, and those who don't like him are probably upset, and that's General. You want to strike a nerve. That's what it's all about. Here's a question from a listener in New Orleans about the shot that almost took out former President Trump. Is there anything that can be done in light of this about banning assault weapons, AR-15s, or is that a non-starter, General?
I think it's the conversation we got to have to limit who can possess these weapons. You know, we've got a federal law on sawed-off shotguns and machine guns. And that served us well going all the way back in for the last 30 or 40 years. If people insist on having these weapons and we can't ban them, but we certainly need to know who the hell's got them and where they are. And I think we need to do a better job on background checks, and we need to be able to have these make sure these weapons are registered, and we need to control the online sale and ordering of those clips and extended clips and ammunition. And we need to have a full-out campaign, just like we had an anti-smoking campaign, to downplay the possession of these automatic weapons. And we're probably going to have to stop doing outside political events. I think we got to do a better job of protecting our politicians and putting them in enclosed where the security forces, because as shown last week, a 20-year-old with no military training can get some rounds off. And that is a setback to our democracy when something like that can happen. And we're going to have to do a better job of securing our key leaders.
And if that young man had not been distracted by a guy who tried to scale the roof, he would have, I think, been successful in taking out Donald Trump. And I don't care what your politics are. That's not something that is good for our country. But it was a 148-yard shot. I mean, that's a football field and a half. That's a little harder to do without a high-powered weapon.
Absolutely. And but, you know, you got a lot of the fact that it's a semi-automatic weapon. He was able to get, I heard the FBI director say 8 rounds. That's a lot of rounds. And we see how close he came, and it could have changed the world as we know it. And God bless everybody, with the exception of the family members and the observers that got killed and injured, and condolences to them.
Robin's telling me we're not going to get to all our callers, but Paul in New Orleans has been waiting the longest, I think. Paul, you're on with General Honoré. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. I enjoy your show.
Thank you.
But my comment is, if somebody gets more votes because they have more children, should people that not have children pay less taxes?
Well, actually, Vance is saying that people who don't have children should pay more taxes. He said that, too. So he basically wants us to be fruitful and multiply. And I think the General's given his position on that. But thank you for your observation, Paul. Let's see if we can fill out the slide in Phil in Baton Rouge. Phil, you got to be quick. Go for it.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. I think there should be a 75-year age limit for these people in public office.
All right. Well, that would mean the General could not run, and we wouldn't want that.
I agree.
Well, we make our choices, and I would be in favor of getting rid of the limit. You have to be 35 to be president, but that's a topic for another day. Thank you, General. Thank you, Phil, for calling in Under the Wire, and we'll be back next week. Until then, thanks for listening. Be safe. Stay tuned.